So I'm going to, I have the honors of leading you guys to Brother Benson, or introducing the man of the hour. He is now a missionary. Me and Caitlin and I have went on AIM before. The next step is to be an associate, which I believe at the moment you have went on to that. You're an associate, but within a month, by the end of this month, Lord willing, it's going to happen. He's going to be fully appointed to Benin, West Africa. Praise God. So I know Brother Benson because he was my employee back when he was at IBC in Indiana Bible College. You know, we employ a lot of people. We've had 100, possibly 200 students work for us over the years, and he is possibly the hardest worker we have ever had through the school. He's incredible. But he just notified me. He just notified me when we were walking in here that he does not work in Africa because it's against the law. The government will not allow him to work in West Africa. So I'm sure if he stayed here in America, he could build a great business and become very wealthy. But nothing's as important as building the kingdom of God. And he's willing to sacrifice it all. And he was just talking about a friend, Charlie. They both worked together, and both of them. Charlie went on to be a missionary. They were good friends, and Charlie worked for us too. But he ended up almost Papua New Guinea, and almost died there. What disease did he have? Was it malaria or something like that? Typhoid, malaria, COVID, all at the same time. Literally, almost died. Him and his wife. And he knew it was a risk when he even went over there, and he still went. But the thing, everyone says they want to do all these things for God and your friends stuff, but time tells. And when you, like, Charlie literally would sacrifice his life to do whatever the Lord asked. And I believe Thad is right there with him, like, literally risking their lives, giving up the comforts of America to do a great work for the Lord. And I remember him telling a story, a thing that I think about often. He told me one time in my truck when I was riding with him. So his dad is a missionary to West Africa, so he actually grew up on the mission field. And he said it's very common in Africa for the locals to see an American and ask for money to build churches and stuff like that. That's extremely common in their culture. So he said his dad, I think they have a very wealthy American business owner that wanted to be a missionary, but has got health problems now, so he can't. But he actually gives to the church over there and builds churches. I think originally he used to build churches 100%, but that didn't work very well. So now they come, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they come to his dad, and his dad's like, you guys want a church? Okay, did you guys pray about it? And they almost always like, what do you mean? He's like, did you guys pray? And they're like, well, he's like, okay, you should probably go back and pray. And almost always they come back and like, well, the Lord, we did pray, and we are raising an offering. We're going to try to cover it. And so the American a business owner has come to the agreement, once they raise 20%, he will cover the rest. And he said, did you say that they make a dollar a day where you're at? Is it $2 a day, something like that? A dollar, $2 a day. So that is very poor. That's much poorer than where me and Caitlin went to Dominican Republic. This is very poverty strict. And he said, it's very hard to watch these people that make a dollar, $2 a day, put money in the offering plate. Like, you almost want to stop it because you're like, they don't have any money. But you have to let it happen. And somehow, some way, he doesn't know what it is, but you come back to these churches sometime later, and there's multiple churches there. And they never asked their dad for any money at all. But somehow, like, God broke the curse, and God can finally bless them because they learn how to sacrificially give, even when they have nothing, and God just really starts to bless them. And that really cemented in my heart, God, I want to be a sacrificial giver. Like, teach me how to give to these people. I want to build the kingdom of God however I can. And I'm thankful. I pray that our church will take a part of what's going on in West Africa through Thad, but I'm sure that he will, as hard of a worker as he is, I'm sure he's going to do just as hard as he can for the Lord. And if you would come, Thad.
You may be seated. Well, it is truly an honor to be here with y'all tonight. What a phenomenal worship service we just had. Pastor, they could have kept on singing. and let the Spirit continue doing on what it could do. The Spirit of God could do a lot more than me getting behind the pulpit and preaching. But it is truly an honor to be here. I give honor to the worship team for y'all's prayer and y'all's practice to bring us into the time that we are in is now. I give honor to Pastor for the opportunity. This was kind of a put-together thing real quick. I was through Connecticut, and I had forgotten that Fred and Caitlin were from here. I thought they were still in Indiana until my wife told me that she saw Caitlin at ladies' conference. Well, by that time, I had already passed all my free days to where we would just service, and then we pulled out. And we went to New York and then to New Jersey area. And then Pastor's very gracious, said, "Hey, are you free for May 1st? I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, I'll put you on the date." So thank you very much for that. We are the Benson family, Benson 4. You saw the other two, but they have been in the car all day today, and they're going to be in the car all night tonight, possibly, if Daddy can push through, because we got to book it back to Illinois for some stuff we got to do tomorrow. Well, it'll be tomorrow evening by the time that I get there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to stop sometime or another. But they are now in the back, but my oldest one is Adelie. She is 4. And then Sadie, she is 1, and she's just learned how to growl. I think I prefer the growling over the screaming that she can do. So I take the low growl than the high-pitched scream that she can give me. But that's who they are. And then my lovely wife, Emily, we went to Bible college. I'm a missionary's kid. I grew up overseas. I went to Bible college in 2019. I did not meet Fred at that time because I knew nothing about Christmas lights at my first semester there. It wasn't until I think my sophomore year, whenever I finally got on board with y'all and worked through Christmas like that. But yes, I worked with them a lot. Worked a lot of long hours to put up some Christmas lights for some people. And then had to go back and recorrect something because of something that we did wrong. But we loved it. We enjoyed it. We went to Bible college for 4 years. She was there 2 years prior than me. And then I met her the first Tuesday of class. First date was Saturday. And then we've been going steady ever since. We did take a small break in between that time. But we kind of overlooked that part to where we are now. And we got married 2 weeks after I graduated Bible college. And then hit the road running on missions in 2021. Got married May 25th. It took us that rest of that year and all of 2020 to get to 2021 where we could go overseas. We came back. We completed our first year of AIM. We came back in 2022, raised our budget for that, went back over in 2023, finished our associate mission term. And now next week we go before the Global Mission Board to get hounded with questions, to get the spotlight put on us, and to get asked if we're truly in this for the long haul. And I'm here to say we're in it for the long haul. Wherever God directs us, that's where we're going to be. Because our objective is souls. And I thank y'all for every missionary y'all support. I was unable to look by every missionary that y'all had. But I thank y'all for every missionary that y'all support. I know that can be a sacrifice. And let me tell you, your financial sacrifice to the kingdom does not go unnoticed. But most of all, besides finances, your prayers. Besides finances, prayers break strongholds. Money don't. Money don't break. It buys things, and it'll build things, but it won't break things. And I thank y'all for every prayer that y'all give towards missions. Thank y'all very much for that. So that's who we are. That's a little bit of what we are about. We're about souls. We're about missions. And we are going in y'all's stead. Some of y'all may not be able to make it overseas. I ask you, if you ever get the opportunity to go overseas, even if you're not called, it's just a life-changing experience to go and experience something overseas like what it can give. So that's who we are. We have a video that we'd like to go to just to give you a brief look into what God has been doing over there. Go with us to Benin.
Praise the Lord.
He struggled for so long.
Like my husband has already said, it truly is an honor to be here this evening with y'all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come share our burden for Benin, West Africa. We are excited to get back. We have only been home since December, but our hearts are back in Benin already. Last week, somebody asked our little girl if she goes to preschool. They found out she was 4. They said, oh, do you go to preschool? And she said, no, I go to Africa. So even in her heart, she is ready to be back in Benin. She asks us all the time, is it time to go back to our Africa home yet? Is it time to go back to our Africa home yet? We keep telling her, not yet, not yet. We'll get there. We'll get there. So help us pray that we can return to Benin quickly because we definitely miss it. But that video is just a brief look of what has been happening in the country of Benin. When we arrived in 2020, it was in the middle of the pandemic, and things were crazy over there, just like they were here. And when we got there, it was December of 2020. So in January of 2021, we started teaching in the Bible school and getting involved with the students as much as we could and really just trying to dig in. And this was our first time going over as a married couple. We had both taken, obviously he was raised on the mission field, and I had taken missions trips myself, but this was our first time going over married and as a family, and we were just really trying to get acclimated to the country, and the best way to do that is just to dig right in and just start. So we started teaching in the Bible school, and after we'd been there for a few months teaching, the students came to us, and they wanted to do a week long of prayer and fasting. So when you get 19, 20, 21-year-olds excited to pray and fast, you do everything you can to encourage that. And so we said, yes, let's do this. So they started on Monday, and their plan was to fast Monday through Friday. Friday, they were going to pray all through the night, and then they would break their fast together on Saturday morning. And so they started Monday, and when they fast, I mean, their plan was the whole week, no food. They had some water, but no food. And they go to class from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and then they work all evening, and then they come home and they do their homework, and then they get up the next morning and do the same thing. So you can imagine as the week grew longer and longer, the students were kind of a little tired, but they didn't care because they were just so hungry for a breakthrough. They were tired of the same old things happening, and they wanted to see something happen for themselves in the country, and they just wanted to see some chains broken in their families and in their villages. So they went through the whole week, and Friday they came together, and they started praying that evening. And at about midnight, off in the distance, they heard some chanting going on. That chanting grew louder, and so they looked out the classroom that they were in. And there was only about 12 students in there. That's all we had at the school at the time. But those 12 students looked out the classroom they were in, and they realized that the voodoo worshipers were right outside of their classroom. Benin is actually the birthplace of voodoo. So you can imagine how strong that stronghold is throughout the country. Our Bible school sits about 10 minutes from a big city called Ouidah, which is where they host their big voodoo festivals every year. They get people from just about every country in the world come in for this voodoo festival every year. And everywhere you look in the country, you'll see their voodoo idols, their voodoo altars, their sacrifices that they make to these voodoo gods. And it's so sad because they'll sacrifice their food and their money while their children and while they are going without food and while they're starving. And it's just so sad to see that. And it's very prevalent around our Bible school, like I said, because the Bible school sits so close to that main city. But the voodoo worshipers, they came that night and they were trying to put a curse on our Bible school. See, not only had the students' prayer and fasting got the attention of heaven, but it had also gotten somebody else's attention as well. And so the voodoo worshipers were out there and they were doing their voodoo chants and trying to put this curse on the Bible school and the Bible school students. But the students didn't stop praying. They didn't let it bother them. They just ignored them. And normally the voodoo worshipers will just give their little sacrifice and go home. But when they realized that the students weren't affected, when they realized that they weren't scared, they got upset, and the voodoo worshipers started picking up these rocks and these bricks and anything else they could find, and they started throwing them in the building at the students. The students quickly shut the doors and the windows to keep themselves safe, and when the doors and windows got shut, they started throwing them up on the roof, so they were falling through the roof, and the students were hiding under desks to keep from getting hit, but they didn't stop praying. They kept on praying, and finally, after an hour or so, the voodoo worshipers really realized that, well, nothing we do is going to affect them, so we're just going to go home. And so they left. And the next morning, we drove out there. They called us to tell us what happened. So we drove out there to see all the damage, and we were talking, and we're like, oh, our poor little Bible school students. They're praying all week for a breakthrough and they're getting attacked. They must be so discouraged. But they weren't. When we got out there, these students came running up to the car as fast as they could. They said, "Missionary, did you hear what happened last night?" We were like, "Yes, you were attacked. Why are you so happy?" And they said, "Because we know that if the devil is trying this hard to attack us, that God must have something greater in store for us." Amen. And those students were so excited. They were just so excited that this attack happened because they knew what that meant. And they started marching around the Bible school property. And they started singing songs of praise and worship. And they were just giving God thanks for this attack that happened because they knew that God had something greater coming for them. And He truly did. Out of that Bible school class that night, I don't know if the picture came through or not. I tried to send it, but I was having trouble with it. But there was two boys in that Bible school classroom that night, and their names were Jacques and Zachary. And Jacques and Zachary grew up together. Zachary was one of our pastor's kids, and Jacques was his friend from school. But Jacques actually grew up in the voodoo religion. But Jacques knew there was something different about his friend Zachary. And so Jacques asked Zachary, you know, "Hey, what's different about you?" And so Zachary told him, and he said, "Well, can I come to church with you?" And Zachary was like, "Yes, come." And so Jacques' very first service, Jacques got the Holy Ghost, and Jacques got baptized in Jesus' name. He completely turned his back on his family's voodoo religion, and his family is about as high up in the voodoo religion as you can get. They're voodoo royalty, so to speak, in the country of Benin. And so when Jacques got the Holy Ghost and got baptized and turned his back on his family's religion, they completely shunned him from his family. But Jacques didn't care because he knew what he had encountered with God, and he was willing to give his whole life for it. And so Jacques came to Bible school with Zachary, and Zachary and Jacques were in that class that night that the voodoo worshippers attacked. Well, Jacques and Zachary graduated just a few months after that, and they went back to their village. This is kind of what Fred was talking about earlier. And they went back to their village. They didn't wait for a missionary to give them money. They didn't wait for somebody in America to give them money. They went back to this their village on their own. They rented a piece of property. And they started planting crops on this piece of property. And they raised the crops and they sold the crops. And they planted more crops and they sold them. And it took them about 3 years to do this. But just this past December, right before we came home, Jacques and Zachary had enough money to buy their own piece of property. And they just completed their own church on this piece of property. These boys are 20 and 21 years old. Just young people. Jacques, the former voodoo worshiper, he's the pastor of that church now. And Zachary, the pastor's kid that won him to the Lord, is pastoring a church in another village. And these boys have rented another piece of property, and they're planting more crops, and they're selling these crops until they get enough money to build another church. They're not waiting on it to be handed to them. They're doing it themselves because they had an encounter with the Lord, and they're wanting to do something for Him, and they're not going to let anything stop them. And the devil knew that those students were in that class that night. He knew the great things that God had in store for them, and he knew if he could just discourage them, if he could just get them to stop short of their blessings, if he could just get them to stop short of the things God had in store for them, that maybe that they wouldn't build those churches. Maybe the other growth that was coming to Benin, it was just shortly after the attack that we got the okay to build a brand new Bible school building. And it was the next semester we went from just those 12 students to 25 students. The devil knew what was getting ready to happen in the country of Benin. He knew the growth that was getting ready to happen. And he knew if he could just stop those 12 students from praying and fasting, if he could just get them to stop short of their blessing, that maybe this growth in the country of Benin wouldn't happen. But those 12 students had made up in their mind. They didn't care what happened to them. They didn't care what it cost them. They were going to give their all to God, and they were going to go through with what he had asked them to do. And the growth and the revival has truly came to Benin. We now have had a total of 48 students graduate the Bible school. We've gone from 40 churches to 120 churches. We've had 9,780 be baptized, 9,780 church members, 7,790 have been baptized, 7,245 have received the Holy Ghost. And in 2023 alone, 15 new churches were started, some of them by those Bible school students that I was talking about. And we've had two more full-time Bible schools get started throughout the country. The Lord is doing great things in the country of Benin. We are so excited to get back. Like my husband has already said, more than finances, we need your prayers. Because like I said, that voodoo stronghold is very strong, and we need you to help us pray that the Lord will continue to break that, be able to break that in the country of Benin, so that we can see more revival come to the country of Benin. And we just thank you for letting us come and share our burden.
Amen. I'd like to take our readings of Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 8. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. If you have it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. And if you, like some of us, you may have forgotten your Bible, it's okay. Jesus still loves you. But our friends up on top has placed it on the screen for us. If you see it on the screen, say amen. Genesis 22, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Everybody say worship. And come again unto you. Verse 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. For this few moments and time that I have, I want to speak on this subject. When your faith ignites your obedience. When your faith ignites your obedience. Be seated. I'm going to pray over the service right quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have to come to your house to worship before you. And then to sit and hear the words go forth. God, I pray that you'd speak to my life and speak to someone's life here today. God, I pray that we as a church body will grow stronger together, that we would be as they were in the upper room, in one mind and in one accord, oh God, to when your spirit would flood out of us wherever we go, God, and that your anointing would radiate off of us to where someone that's hungry to know you would feel and begin to seek after you, God. We thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When your faith ignites your obedience. In verse 1 we read that Abraham was tempted by God. When you look at this verse, it also says that Abraham was enticed by God to sacrifice Isaac. But God not only stopped with a temptation or enticement from him, he even spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. From verse 1 to verse 8, there's two types of mindsets that's working. There's a spiritual mindset and a fleshly mindset. How do I come up with that? Well, in verse 1, God tempted Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham's response was, Here am I. It wasn't, Here I'm not. It was, Here I am, meaning that he was in tune with the Holy Spirit. That he was able to hear the Holy Spirit's voice and not only feel the temptation from God, but also to say, Here am I. And that's when God said, Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. From verse 1 till we get to verse 5, Abraham has shown no hesitation on his part. He gathered the supplies that he needed. He gathered the two young men and the ass and his son Isaac, and they went forth. They traveled for 3 days. They got to the bottom of the mountain. Abraham's mindset was this. Y'all stay here at the bottom, but I and the lad is going to go yonder and worship. Worship. and come again unto you. When he said, come again unto you, he should have said, Pastor, and I'll come again unto you. Because he was going to sacrifice Isaac. He was going to kill Isaac that day on the altar. Isaac's blood was going to cover the altar, and then Abraham was going to burn Isaac's body. That's the response that should have been given. But Abraham's mindset was, I'm first going to go yonder and worship, but my God is going to do something. So we'll come again unto you. Signifying his mindset was on, my God's going to do it. No matter what my God asks of me, here I am. But first, after that, I'm going to worship. And I'm going to come again unto you. And when my God asks of me again, here am I. Then I'm going to go worship. And I'm going to come again unto you. We keep on moving on to verse 7. And Isaac, when they get to the top of the mountain, Isaac stops everything. And at this moment in time, Isaac begins to put everything together. Because from verse 1 till now, Pastor, Abraham has told no one. He's not let anything go that Isaac is to be the sacrifice. All he's done was obey. For all we know, Isaac thought they were going on a camping trip. For all we know. But Isaac, when he stopped and began to actually look, he says, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the lamb for the sacrifice. Where was Abraham's mindset at this time? Don't worry about it. God will provide himself. He done said we're going to go yonder and worship and come again. He's saying, hey, my faith is my God's going to provide the lamb for the sacrifice. What is our mindset when we enter into a difficult time? Or when we feel God urging us to do something, to go do something, to speak, to give up something. To give up something. What is our response? Is it, here I am, or is it, here I'm not? Because we as humans have a comfort zone that we like to stay in. We like to go to work Monday through Friday, or sometimes, if you're a workaholic, then it's Saturday through Sunday, you make it to church on Sunday night. Whatever the situation may be. But we have a tendency to put up a barrier, a comfort zone in which we like to stay in. And we'll only do the things that God asks that keeps us in our comfort zone. Okay, God, I'll give in the offering. I can do that. Oh, you want me to go in the neighboring town and go talk to somebody? You want me to go talk to somebody in my job? Nah. I'm in my little cubicle. I got my own little space right here. This is where I'm at. God, I'm struggling in my family. Well, you want me to give that up? That's not going to change the outcome of my family. I ain't doing that. I love this thing. I love that situation. It might even be the job is what's causing you some problems. And God's been urging with you for a long time to let it go. But we have a comfort zone. And we hear the voice of God, but the Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. From verse 1 till now, Abraham has made a declaration. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is following after my spirit. And that's why I'm able to say, here I am. And that's why I'm able to say, I'm first going to go yonder and worship, and I will come again. And Isaac, don't worry about it, because God is going to provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. In verse 9, we get, and it came to pass, and they came to the place of which God had told him of. And Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac's hands and feet. The Bible says that Abraham bound Isaac. His hands are tied. His feet are tied. But let's look at Isaac for a second. You see nothing from Isaac showing that he's in rebellion against his father. You see nothing. You see no resistance. You see no word from Isaac. Has anybody read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? I'm sure a lot of people have. When you read from Genesis to Revelation, you see the Bible is very thorough when it gives an account on something. Especially when you hit them chapters on genealogy. Yes, sir. God wants you to know everyone was related to somebody. And you may read those chapters and read the rest of the Bible. You may never hear those people again, Pastor. But for some reason, God wanted you to know that someone begot, and this person begot. Very thorough. Here, you see no hesitation on Abraham's part. If so, the Bible would have told us so. You see no hesitation on Isaac. If so, the Bible would have told us so. The Bible even goes even forward to say what somebody was thinking, what their actions were. Abraham's actions were, "Here I am." That action fell over into Isaac. Isaac's response was, "Here I am," even though it was not said, Pastor. Abraham was obedient to his heavenly father, but Isaac was obedient to his earthly father. And the same relationship Abraham had with God, the same relationship Isaac had with Abraham. That Abraham was able to stand there, bind Isaac's hands and feet, and place them on the altar. When did the blessing come? Blessing didn't come when the altar was built. Our blessings never come when we just strictly come to the altar. Pastor called for the altar call, we all come up. That's just an action. That's just being obedient to our shepherd. Abraham did the exact same thing. He built the altar, he tied Isaac's hands and feet, and he placed Isaac on the altar. But the blessing didn't come. The blessing came when Abraham stretched forth his hand. Stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay Isaac. And then he hears a voice from heaven. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." What was Abraham's response? "Here am I." God in verse 1 says, "Abraham." Abraham's response was, "Here am I." Isaac stops everything and says, "Dad." Abraham's response was, "Here am I." And now, when he's standing over his boy, his response still is, "Here am I. What else do you need from me, oh Father? What else do you need?" When your faith takes you from hearing the voice of God and saying, "My God is going to provide," to obedience, when you're standing over that which God is asking of you to give up, and you're saying, "Here it is, oh Heavenly Father. Do with it as whatever you would ask, whatever you shall do with it. It's yours. I don't want it no more. Because I want to be closer to you." Let's keep on reading a little bit more. In verse 12, and he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I," this is the angel, the angel saying, "for I know that thou fearest God." What type of fear are we talking about here? Is it the fear of driving in your car and thinking somebody's either going to A, rear end you, or B, you're rearing somebody? Is the fear of going into the gas station and praying somebody doesn't try to rob the joint while you're in there? You're in a bank, praying nobody comes in there to do that. You're in Walmart. You're walking around praying nobody wants to talk to you because you want to get in and out because Walmart's a crazy place. That's not the fear we're talking about. That's not the fear. The fear that we're talking about is when God is speaking to you, you're putting aside every distraction, every doubt, and every fear, and your response is, "Here am I. What do you have for me to do today, O Heavenly Father?" Because we as humans need to remember something. We were created for two purposes. To worship our Heavenly Father. To relate, to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But secondly, to take care of the land which He gave us. That was our responsibility. But God did not want robots working for Him, living for Him. He wanted people that had a love for Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's why He put the tree in the middle of the garden. And that's why, Pastor, He told Abraham, "Don't touch that tree." It was Abraham's response to pass on the message, to pass it on down. What did Abraham do? What did Adam do? Sorry. Adam gave in to eating of the fruit. Knowing what God asked him to do, he gave in to it. Abraham very well could have said, "No, sir, I am not going to give in to this temptation that you place on me. Remember, God, I prayed for this child. Me and Sarah prayed. I know I stepped outside of the promise to bring it forth. But we prayed for this and you gave it. And now you want it back." Remember when I said there was two mindsets working? If you look at the Bible with a fleshly mindset, you'll get fleshly things. You'll get fleshly ideas. You'll be able to take Scripture and conform it to what you want, to what fits your lifestyle. But when you look at it with a spiritual mindset of, "Here am I, O God, speak to me and allow me to understand what you are speaking to me." You can look at this Scripture with Abraham and understand very fully, Isaac was never meant to be sacrificed that day. Never was the intention of God. The intention of God was to see, how far is this man willing to go for me? Because I created him. I knew him before the foundation of the earth. I knew what Abraham was capable of. But how far is he willing to go for me? Abraham grabbed the knife and he was very 100% going to slay Isaac that day. Because he already made the statement before, "We're going to go yonder and worship and come again. And God's going to provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice." That needs to be our mindset. When life happens, because life does, or when God puts something in our walk with him to shake us up a little bit, to try to steer us back on course, what is our action? What is our mindset to it? What is it? All of us in here has at one time had a conversation with God. All of us in here probably at one time has kind of not did what God asked of us to do. And we saw the repercussions of it. We saw it. I'm there with you. I'm 100% man. Yes, I'm behind the pulpit preaching, but I am human. But God's grace and God's mercy said, "Hey, you might be a sinner, but I saved those that are lost. As long as your faith and your obedience lies in me and lies in my word, I'll give that which I promised." We keep on reading a little bit more. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes," in verse 13, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns." The blessing came when Abraham grabbed the knife. The knife is in his hand to slay Isaac. And the blessing came from behind. If the blessing's always in front of us, are we able to follow through with that which God asked of us? If it's always right there, we can always see it and reach out. We'll put the knife down and go towards the blessing. And never fulfill that which God placed upon our hearts, upon our minds to do. But if God says, "Hey, the blessing's already there, but it's behind," our focus is strictly on what God asked of us. And then the blessing comes. I ask of us today, how many times have we come to the altar and we've said a sweet little prayer, knowing we needed to go deeper that day, and we've stopped because we're worrying about who is around us and who, what people might think we're all going to do or going, what they're going to say? Our objective is not to think of what people are going to think of us. Our objective is to say, "Here am I, what do you think of me? I don't care what this world thinks of me." I was talking to a lady yesterday. We took our oldest for a horseback ride. Our oldest one, Adelie, she loves horses. The only horse that she rode was a little pony. And I looked, and I was like, she rode pretty good for the first time. Yes, somebody was leading her, but I wasn't holding on to her. So I called this gentleman yesterday. I said, "Hey, sir, I have a 4-year-old daughter. Can she ride a horse?" And he said, "Has she ever been on one?" I said, "Yes, sir, she has." I didn't tell him how big the horse was. I said, "Yes, sir, she has." He said, "Is she skittish around horses?" I said, "No, the horses might be skittish around her, though." I said, "Because she's a little cray-cray when she gets around some horses." He goes, "You know what, bud, bring her on. So I get there, and he never said hello to me. He says, "You ain't thinking about riding a horse, are you?" This is his words. I said, well, I was kind of thinking about it. But he went on the steps. You don't put no more than 15% of the horse's weight on you. I said, what are you saying? I'm big? He goes, yeah. He went and put the horse back in the corral. I said, okay. I ain't riding a horse. Keeps more money in my pocket then. So my wife and my daughter goes on a horseback ride. And I'm sitting there, and one of the ladies that's helping this gentleman, she comes and sits with me. And we begin to talk and everything, and I said, I'm a traveling minister. And she says, so you're Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, but I'm much more than that. She goes, what do you mean, much more than that? I said, I'm apostolic. She stepped back. She says, you're some of them tongue talkers, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, we believe the Bible. She said, y'all a little crazy. I said, yes, ma'am, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I said, we're Bible-believing people. She goes, I love that. I just love it. And I began to talk to her. She began to break down. She gave me her whole life story. I didn't ask for it, but she gave it. Why? Because there was something she was sensing and something she was hungry for. Something she was hungry for. We don't have to have all the words and all the knowledge to be able to witness. Our objective when God created us was to worship Him, to be takers of the land that He's given, but also to be witnesses unto Him. And if we're allowing things to hinder us from fulfilling that which God has asked of us to do already, some of us are not called to a pulpit ministry. Some of us are not called to sing. I can't carry a tune all that great, but I make a joyful noise. You know it. But we are all called to do one thing, and that's to be a witness. Our life and our actions and our conversations can mimic the life of Christ. All we have to do is be faithful to what He's asked us to do and obedient in all things, and God will provide the increase. All right. I believe that. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, as I'm coming to a close, the musicians can come. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18. Of whom it was said that, everybody say that, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Go on. Right here. This was Abraham's response at the bottom of the mountain. When he said, we're going to go yonder and worship and come again. Because Abraham was taking into account that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in the figure. Abraham's mindset was obedience no matter the cost. Because my God is faithful to uphold His promises unto us. If Abraham would not have grabbed that knife to sacrifice Isaac, through Isaac, the seed of Abraham would not have been called. This portion of Scripture would not have been here. But the promise came through Abraham and fulfilled through Isaac from generation to generation to generation. The same promise that God gives to us in Acts, when we obey the Word by repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the only name we are to be baptized in, and then infilled with His Holy Spirit that only He can give, the same promise of eternal life is given unto our generations after us. But that generational promise does not come until someone steps up to the altar and lays it all down and says, my life is here, saying, here am I. Can we stand? For a moment, can we come around the altar? One thing that we're not promised is tomorrow. We're not promised to walk out these doors and to wake up tomorrow and that everything is going to be okay. But what we are promised is right here and right now, in the moment which we are living in right now, when we walk out those doors, we have the opportunity to make sure that our spirit is now saying, here I am, O Father. I ask of us today, if you already have the Holy Ghost, I thank you for seeking after it and finding it. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, I ask you today to dig until you get it. Not stop praying until you get it. If you've never been baptized, we have a pastor here. He's more than willing to set the time to put you under the water and allow the old person to be carried away. But when you go down in water, you have to have faith knowing that God's going to uphold His promise and take that old lifestyle and throw it as far as the east is from the west. But then you have to have faith in saying, after I do that, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to speak in that heavenly language that only God can understand. Because that's the only way we get to heaven. You can go ahead and start playing and start singing. But I want those that have the Holy Ghost to pray for every backslider that you know of. I want everyone here to pray for every prodigal that's lost. But I want for those that have not got the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray for it. I want you to uphold the Word right now and speak for it. Raise your hands. Raise them up high. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about it. Men, women, don't worry about it. Close your eyes and have a conversation with our Heavenly Father like you've never had before. That today we would be obedient. That today we would have the gumption to say, I lay it all down. The old lifestyle, when I go back tomorrow, my friends will see a different person. When I go to work, my friends will see a different person. Come on, church. Let's not let this be an ordinary Wednesday. But let this be a